What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to my show, What the Health. I'm Gabby Allen and happy official 1 week countdown to Christmas. That's right, guys. It's only 7 sleeps now, I think, if my maths is correct. Until Christmas Day. Isn't that mental that there's such like a big build-up to one day and then you blink and then it's over? And then there's like this weird limbo time between Christmas and New Year when nobody knows what to do with themselves apart from eat and argue with their family members. And you know what? Rightly so. Those leftover turkey and stuffing butties are what Christmas is all about. But before we indulge in mince pies and mulled wine, let's get on with our very exciting last show of the year. We are going to go out with a bang. Later, I'm going to be joined by the one and only Leighton Williams, musical theatre performer and all-round superstar. I've known Leighton for years and he is literally a superstar. But first up, we're going to get our nutrition brain back on track one last time with our chat with Sophie Trotman, registered nutritionist around all the festive eating. I think this is the common like theme this time of year with what I'm seeing with my members and clients is that there's this ongoing conversation about not eating too much because it's Christmas and like, you know, letting their kind of overall goals fall off a little bit. And I'm like, you know what, there's give and take when it comes to your nutrition over Christmas time. I think just look at the overall bigger picture. But of course, we're going to talk to our lovely Sophia right now and actually get the ins and outs. How are you there, my love?
I am really good, thanks. Looking forward to Christmas, kind of tying up some work bits. So yeah,
yes.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, same. It doesn't feel like Christmas though. I feel like it's like too warm to be Christmas, don't you think?
Yeah, especially because I'm based in Lisbon, so it's blue skies and I'm yet to have a mince pie. So I'm excited to come back to London for Christmas.
Oh my God, you're coming back here. Nice. Jealous.
Yeah,
I love Lisbon.
Excited though to be with the fam.
Yeah, good. Okay, so you're coming back to for Christmas in London or in the UK. How can we avoid overeating during holiday parties when, like, you know, when there's so many festive treats around?
Yeah, so it's really a good idea to go for foods which, for meals or snacks, which contain a source of protein, because as we know, protein helps keep us satiated, helps keep our blood sugar balanced. So we're not having those dips that we might get after, you know, the aforementioned mince pies, which leave us craving even more sugary foods.
Yeah.
So if you can go for something with a source of protein, be that in a meal or a snack, that's a really good thing. You know, those smoked salmon blinis, they're great. Even a pig in blanket, although obviously bacon is not the most nutritious of foods. But yeah, better than a sugary snack for sure. So opting for a bit of protein is a really good idea.
I find that with, as I've just said before I intro you, is like I'm finding across the board a lot of my members and, you know, people that I train are getting really, there's like this like stigma around like, you know, what, like, should I be eating Christmas dinner? Should I be eating like more healthier options? And I'm trying to say that, you know, this is the time that you can be a little bit more lenient with your nutrition. Like, obviously, yeah, we want to be looking at the more protein heavy foods, but it is Christmas, so we can like, you know, maybe this isn't the time that we're going to be in the biggest calorie deficit. But are there like other healthy alternatives? Yeah, we suggest like pigs and blankets. But is there any other options that you would say, rather than eating all the Christmas foods at all times, would you like suggest any other alternatives?
Yeah, so I completely agree with you on that. You know, most people in terms of their health journey, it's not the one day at Christmas that is holding them back from reaching their goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will certainly be digging into a really hearty, you know, Christmas dinner myself. But in terms of some healthier options, you know, make sure that a lot of your plate is filled up with all that colourful, lovely veg. So be that honey roasted carrots or Brussels sprouts, excellent. Brussels sprouts are part of the cruciferous vegetable family, and they're really good for female hormone balance and lots of other things. So, you know, when I'm looking at people's food diaries, I'm checking, are you having broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts? Those are all part of the cruciferous vegetable family. So for me, Brussels sprouts are not just for Christmas. So make sure you've got a lovely side of those. And then, yeah, you've got some lean protein, be that turkey, you know, chicken is a really good idea. What else would I say? Yeah, just make sure you've got lots of fiber and protein, because that is going to help you keep satiated. But also, you know, don't try to make your meal quite minimal and try to, you know, cut corners, because then you might just find yourself, you know, having a whole box of celebrations on the sofa.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to be having, you know, a hearty meal, and that's part of the joy of Christmas, I think.
I think you just like hit the nail on the head with like the colourful part of it. Like, that is how guys, let's be honest, that's how we're going to get our nutrients in over Christmas. Just fill that plate up with that roasted vegetables, all those parsnips, all those carrots. And like, even though we are going to be overeating, there's still ways that you can like definitely, you might just be eating way more calories than normal, but you can just eat some of the good stuff of calories, like just more, a bigger portion than what you would normally have. I find that that's going to be a common denominator across the board. Our portion size is just going to be bigger, because I know that my mum's going to fill my Christmas plate up like as if it's like made for The Rock, you know? It's going to be huge. Yeah. Hopefully, anyway. If you're listening, Mum, I want it to be as big as you can. Is there any foods that you should avoid preventing gaining weight or feeling sluggish? So, like, you just talked about the big box of celebrations. Like, is there a ways, like, I would say, rather than having the box on your lap, let's share it out between the whole gang rather than, like, just having it a box to yourself or, like, putting it in the kitchen away from you? What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Look, you know, you'd have to have an iron will to have it on your lap and not eat half the box. So I say this with people in offices as well. You know, if you've got some chocolates or if you've got a pack of mixed nuts, don't have it on your desk because you'll be in between Zoom calls and whatever, just kind of eating the whole thing. Don't have a pack of biscuits on your desk. Go, you know, get a nice handful of the celebrations and bring it back to the TV and, you know, have that there. That will minimize overeating because, of course, these foods are built for overconsumption. They've literally got very clever teams of, you know, food scientists in their headquarters building these for overconsumption. So it's really hard to not eat the whole pack. And you're doing yourself a favor if you can just keep it in the store cupboard for a bit.
They should just fill them more with bounties because nobody likes bounties.
And then oh, nobody I like bounties, you see.
Do you? Oh, yeah. No. They're the worst ones. The Malteser ones, though. Yeah, they're good.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing.
So as for alcohol, I feel like this is where, I mean, you know what? Actually, we're not big drinkers on Christmas Day. Well, my brother is. They have like this whole like beer thing. Like they do, you know, like on Snapchat, they'll be like, I challenge Ethan to drink a bottle, whatever. But I don't really drink a lot on Christmas just because I'm not out. I find if I drink at home, it makes me like sluggish. But are there any alcohol like alternatives that you can like recommend? So instead of drinking the Guinness, what would you suggest to drink that you can drink in more quantity?
Yeah, amazing. So yeah, drinking in the house can make you feel super sluggish, especially that combination with the food as well. And you want to be on form for your family, don't you? But okay, I've heard that alcohol-free Guinness is actually really good. I also really like Lucky Saint beer. I'm not sure if you've tried that, but it's an alcohol-free beer. Really good. For me, it's the best of the alcohol-free beers, Lucky Saint. There's also some really good alcohol-free spirits out there. So Pentire is a really good one. That's spelled Pentire. Obviously, there's Seedlip. Sometimes all that you want is like a special drink, you know? So sometimes it's about getting that really nice glass, having a bit of ice, putting a nice non-alcoholic spirit in there, a fun kind of tonic water. You know, Fever Tree has some really nice festive ones with oranges and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe a bit of mint or something if you're feeling fancy. And sometimes it's about taking that mindful moment for yourself and really enjoying this special drink.
Yeah.
Rather than actually just having an extra, you know, large glass of wine, which if you've already had two, you know, you're not really
it doesn't matter what you drink at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then in terms of, you know, moderating your alcohol as well, it's a good idea. I know it's such a cliche, but kind of have a glass of water in between every drink. Easy to forget, you know, your head will thank you the next day. And just make sure that you're not kind of overly hungry. Make sure that you're eating enough, which may not be an issue at Christmas. But, you know, we can often get a little bit drunk if we're not eating enough and the hangover will be worse.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not looking forward to that one. Normally it's about after Boxing Day is that I'm normally hungover because we go out on Boxing Night. You know what I was just thinking and what I've been saying once again to my members and stuff? I think to kind of minimise the kind of, unfortunately, food guilt that people get around Christmas, is it a good way of looking at it that like allowing yourself to have the overindulgent days of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day, like you know that those days are probably going to be the days that you may not get as many steps in as that you usually do. You may not do your workout. You may not like, you know, have your healthy, smaller portions that you would normally have. But it's safe to say, isn't it, that those 3 days of being off plan are not going to affect your overall goals in the long run. Like, listen, your month, what you do now is not going to affect how you look in 3 days' time. It affects how you look in a month, 2 months, right? So those 3 days aren't going to knock you completely off the bandwagon.
Yeah, absolutely correct. They are not going to do anything really. And you know, you can definitely have those 3 days. I personally like to do a workout in the morning, but then again, I'm not the one cooking Christmas dinner. That's my lovely mother. So, you know, I like to do that in the morning because it just makes me a nicer person to everyone later in the day.
Same.
So I make sure I do it and it feels really good. And yeah, probably my step count is a lot lower, but I just make sure I get that morning workout in personally.
Same. And also, like, I think because it is Christmas, I'm actually going to come to this later. I've had so many listener questions about Christmas time for this show. But I think there's almost like a stigma around, like, because it's Christmas, people are like, why are you working out on Christmas? Why are you not eating like all of the food? And it's like, guys, just because it's Christmas doesn't mean that I don't have to overindulge if I don't want to overindulge. Like, you don't have to prove anything to anybody, right?
Yeah, there's definitely that pressure from people. And actually, maybe you can explain it. You don't even have to explain it. But if you explained it like just how I did, you know, oh, actually, I did that workout in the morning because it means, you know, I'm going to be less snappy with people later on. Or actually, I'm not going to have that fifth glass of champagne or Prosecco because it means that I'll actually, you know, have a better chat with you later in the afternoon. I'm not going to need to go off for a nap. Actually, I'm not going to have that sugar because it makes you feel a bit anxious, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not about we've got to go one way or the other, but there is a bit of moderation in between. And fine if you have 2 days and they're not moderate at all. But for those people that do want to moderate it a bit, yeah, there's definitely people can shame you a bit, but that's more of a reflection on you're making them feel a bit insecure about themselves now.
Yeah.
And that's not your fault. That's up to them. So just remember, it's got nothing to do with you.
You do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So you said that you don't cook the Christmas dinner then. So as a nutritionist, are you not like stood there in the kitchen like, oh, you put a bit more of that in or do this, do that?
Well, do you know what? My mom is a really good cook and she cooks food in a healthy way. And my mom hasn't eaten meat since the age of 6 because she had a couple of boys next door who used to work, you know, slaughtering animals. So it kind of put her off. They used to tell her these stories. But she cooks the most amazing meat. And so I just trust my mom. But I should probably help out in the kitchen a little bit more. I find that when you return to the family house, you kind of slot back into, you know, maybe being a bit of a brat.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so what are your top tips then for somebody for Christmas Day? Like, is there any supplements that they could be taking around like the period, or, you know, what are your top tips?
Okay, really interesting. So a supplement that I recommend to a lot of people, because obviously sleep is so important and regulating our nervous system is really important, is magnesium. Magnesium glycinate is definitely the best form when it comes to sleep and our nervous system. You know, we call it the relaxation mineral. It relaxes your mind, your nervous system, but it also, you know, relaxes your muscles as well. So that can be quite a good one. But, you know, when I'm recommending supplements, this is very general advice. You definitely should check with your healthcare professional just to see if it doesn't clash with any kind of medication you're on or that kind of thing. So magnesium can be a good one over the festive period because the festive period, of course, can be very stressful. Milk thistle can be a really good supplement as well because it can help you kind of deal with the alcohol that you're drinking. Obviously, it's better just not to drink alcohol from a nutrition standpoint, but milk thistle is a really good one. It can help your liver out a little bit. There's some really good de-bloat kind of digestion supplements that you can take after eating. The NuCo is a really good one. The NuCo, that's spelt NuEco. The NuCo, they do a good one if you suffer with a bit of indigestion post-eating. So yeah, those are some ones that I would recommend. You probably won't need to be having, you know, protein shakes over this period. You're probably going to be having enough protein with those roast dinners.
Hopefully, yeah.
Do you have any supplements that you do take typically over the festive period?
Well, I always take magnesium anyway. I take Lumity, and it's got like quite a few of them in there. It's such a comprehensive blend, and it's just great that I just get them all in one go. I probably won't be supplementing protein. And I'm actually due to end my creatine cycle like just before Christmas, so that'll be good.
That's ideal.
Yeah,
no. Nice thing to think about.
No, literally. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Soph. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Safe travels back from Lisbon.
And thank you so much.
Enjoy your lovely roast dinner. It's nice
thank
to meet you, babes.
You too.
Have a great day. Take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Going on from Mine and Sophie's chat, I just want to say, it's not really an exercise of the week. It's just in general around exercise over Christmas. I am definitely an advocate for having some downtime and rest and rejuvenation over the festivities. And I'm definitely encouraging my members and clients to do the same. But I don't want to be like, what was it like regimented or like too strict? But basically, I think taking over with just keeping moving your body in one way or another is definitely the best way to just get through the time. Because like, yes, nutrition is going to be wavered. Let's be honest. We're going to be eating more. As I said, our portion control is going to be more. And, you know, you might be drinking more than usual or et cetera, et cetera. But I just think when it comes to the exercise, there's no reason why you can't just keep ticking over. I don't think you should personally just stop dead and not doing anything and just like be horizontal for the whole 3 days. Because I feel like getting the motivation and discipline to get back on track afterwards just makes it harder to get like the engine churning, you know? So I think if you can do anything, just get your steps in. It makes it less of a shock to the system when you come back. Or like, you know, do something at home. It doesn't need to be weighted. You could like loads of my classes in my challenges or body weight, you know, 20 minute just blast. And at least it gets you away from the family for 20 minutes as well. Just get up in your bedroom, do a few burpees, and then you're good to go. Energy boosting, endorphin releasing, and it'll just make you feel better. And listen, it's going to make more room for those extra mince pies as well. Coming up after this break, I'm going to be joined by the incredible Leighton Williams, but I'll see you then.
What the Health with Gabby Allen, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. So before I'm joined by the incredible Leighton Williams, we're going to do some listener questions. So, Eleanor asks, I've got really consistent with going to the gym and starting to see progress. Go on, hon. However, I'm going to my parents for 2 weeks over Christmas and I'm worried about losing motivation and losing my progress. Any advice? So, as I told you, it is the running theme of today's show. People are panicking around Christmas. It's just because the festivities, people completely tend to like shut down and think, oh, I'm on my holidays. I'll just throw it all out of the window. It doesn't matter anymore. But I feel like it's like, you just, why should you do that basically? Like, why, what is the stigma around being like, you know, trying to prove that you're allowed to just chill out? If you want to move, if you want to still do something, then there's no reason why you can't keep ticking over. Like, if your gym is still open, go to the bloody gym. There's still, like, you can still go outside your house and still walk. Basically, like, if you want to keep up with your progress, I don't think you should be focusing on your hitting PBs or anything like that. And I don't want to appear as a trainer to be, like, too mean and too regimented. So that's why I'm saying, like, with the nutrition side of things, you can be a bit more lenient. But if you do have a fitness goal in sight and you've been working hard towards it, then I would absolutely encourage you to just stay on that momentum. I think it's fair to offer up the space to, like, not be working on hitting PBs or, you know, necessarily, like, go. Maybe you don't go 5 times that week and you go for 3 times instead. But I think if you're used to doing it and it makes you feel good and you want to continue doing that, then you should absolutely do that for yourself. I don't know whether, like, people's families tend to live, well, I say this is a very generic, but, you know, sometimes you might not have access to the gym or, you know, it might be colder where they are. I don't know, like, you know, but basically, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want to tick over and if you want to still head towards those goals, then you can do it, you know? Like, even with the nutrition side of things, like, if you don't necessarily want to eat triple your calories on Christmas Day, then just stick to doing, like, maybe a bit of intermittent fasting and just having your Christmas dinner, if that's, like, not too late in the day. Or, like, you know, have a protein shake earlier on in the day and then have your Christmas dinner later on in the day. And that is, like, you know, you might have half the dessert than what you would usually have. I think it all comes down to, you know, you taking control. And just because you're going to somebody else's house doesn't mean that they then necessarily have to have the whole reign of what you do. So, as I said, where there's a will, there's a way. And you do you, baby girl. Don't lose that progress. As Christmas is literally 3 days and then it's over and then you're back to wanting to do what you were doing before, right? So, speaking of which, Patsy asked, should I work out when I'm ill? This is the only time that I would say people should just absolutely chill out. There is, like, on the internet, people say if it's above your head, like if you have a cold or you've got a bit of a, you know, congestion going on, then you are physically able to work out. Unless you can't breathe because you've got too much snot in your nose, then fair enough. But if it's below and you might have a bit of a chest infection or, you know, stomach problems and it's like really wiping you out, then I think the main focus is on just getting better. And then I definitely would want to go to my parents, because there's something about being with your parents when you're ill that just look after you. You know, every time I'm ill, I'm like, where's my mum? I need to just bring me a hot water bottle. And I love Heinz tomato soup and like crusty bread when I'm ill. But yeah, I think, like, it just depends on what's wrong with you. Obviously, whenever you're ill, regardless of what it is, you want to be drinking loads of water to try and flush out whatever it is that's bothering you. You want to be eating, like, nutritiously dense food to be replenishing whatever it is that you don't have. Rest and recovery is so important when you're ill with anything, because obviously it's the same with DOMS when you've been in the gym. Like, when you're asleep, that's when your body repairs itself, right? So the more rest and sleep that you can have, the better. And, you know, like, listen to your body. You will know if you are able to train. I feel like, you know, when you're sick, like, as in, like, actual physically sick and you're bedridden, you know that you're not going to be able to train. But if you do know that you've just got a bit of a sniffle, get yourself in the gym and sweat it out, you know? But that being said, dehydration, you just need to make sure that you are applying yourself with fluids. That's one thing I always remember, once again, from my mum. Like, whenever I'm ill, she's just like, you just need to have lots of fluids that'll get rid of it. That's like the old Mary Poppins side way. What is it? A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. So yeah, listen to your body. You will know if you are capable or not, and always, like, only push yourself when you think that it's not gonna put you in a coffin. So anyway, Jimmy asks, any advice on how to be content with eating healthy and stop pursuing unrealistic physiques? So I think this comes down to kind of social media, or like what your goal is, right? Like, obviously, if you are trying to look a certain kind of way and there is a physique, like body composition in mind, then that is where it can become, you know, I don't want to say obsessive, but that's where, like, the accountability comes in. It's like, if that's what you want to achieve, then, like, you're going to be working really hard to get there. It's under anyone else's opinion, like, whether someone thinks you're being unhealthy with obsessing over something, or whether you have just got fitness goals in mind. I think you just need to, like, look down and see, like, what is it that I want to achieve? Is it because I want to be really strong, or is it because I want to have a six-pack and, you know, huge definition within my arms and stuff? Remember, bearing in mind, like, that kind of body composition does take a lot of effort and hard work to get there, and it is hard to sustain. And a healthier version of that would maybe not be as a body fat percentage. But it is doable, and there's ways of doing it that are healthy too. As long as you're fueling your body correctly, and as long as you're, you know, not overtraining and actually finding the enjoyment in the process, then I'm an advocate for getting as fit and as healthy as you can, obviously, and I have my own fitness goals in mind. But I think there's just, like, always being mindful and aware of how you're committing to that journey, and how much, you know, you don't want it to take over your life. It wants to be a welcome, like, happy addition. As I said, enjoying the process rather than it becoming over-consuming and people start to, worry about you. So, yeah, write down your goals, see what it is that you want to actually achieve, and just make sure that you are being mindful about it. Okay, so Janice, She asks, my family are massive feeders and love to go all out at Christmas. However, I'm trying to be more mindful of my eating. How do I set boundaries with my family when it becomes without it becoming a bar humbug? Once again, it's what I've already said. Like, I think it's just about having that conversation and, like, just being open and honest and saying, you know what, guys, like, it doesn't mean that you can't indulge to whatever that means to you, or, like, it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy, but you don't have to do what somebody else, like, kind of is, like, pressurizing you to. It's like peer pressure, isn't it, when it comes to, like, drink, or, like, when you're younger and stuff. Like, if you don't want to do something, then you just don't do it. And I think maybe for me, I just wouldn't make a big deal out of it. I would just, like, if you are serving yourself, you know, you pick out your portions, and, like, you know, then nobody else can ask questions. But then maybe the person that is, like, serving you just be like, oh, you know what, I want a bit of a, like, smaller portion, I'll go back for seconds if I want more. If you want to take more of a, you know, an easier approach, you're not going to, like, try and get the whole family then, like, plying you with roast potatoes. But it is such a stigma, isn't it, that you have to try and avoid being, you know, peer pressured into eating more. But that actually makes me sad. I'm like, you know, it's such a, you should be able to talk to your family about stuff. So if there's one person that you find easier to speak to, then maybe go and speak to them first. But also, as I said earlier, like, maybe have a protein shake to start off the day and then have your Christmas dinner, and then, or get yourself out of the house when people are having those big morning breakfasts. So then you have less, like, you know, pressure to have the three big massive meals a day. But also enjoy, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself either to, like, not be eating too much. Yeah, there's a bigger goal in sight, but once again, there's 3 days. It's not going to make a big, massive difference to your progress over those 3 days, like, to the rest of the year. So just do what makes you feel good. Okay, guys, coming up after this break, we have the amazing Leighton Williams. So I will see you then. Do not go anywhere.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back in business. Mr. Leighton Williams, hello.
Hey, gorgeous.
Oh, my God, it's so nice to see you. How are you, babes?
I'm fab. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're a very, very busy man. Just for, so everybody knows, I've known Leighton for literally years and years. We went to the same theatre school. And when I met this guy, I was like, this guy's going to be a superstar. And look at him. You're all a fucking stuff. Superstar. But just in all case people stuff. Don't know you, can we just do some really quick fire questions? And absolutely. I want you to just answer as quick as you can off the top of your head. Right?
Period. Let's go.
Okay. So 3 words to describe yourself.
Ooh. I would say I'm fun. I would say I'm fab. And I'm going to go for the 3 Fs. I would say I'm fearless. Yeah, I like to just throw myself at things.
Yes, I thought you were going to say fierce, but I love fearless as well. Go on, babes. Okay, upper or lower body day?
Oof. Upper, because I'm a dancer and my legs have always been snatched.
Yeah, best legs in the business. Thank you very much. Okay, who's your dream workout partner?
You, duh.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Thanks. No one's ever said me. Oh, no, I think one person's ever said me before. But thank you. I love
you
that.
You need to get better guests on them.
I know, yeah. Fuck them. Okay, and what is your workout anthem?
Oh, my God. My boyfriend was laughing at me the other day because he went into my Spotify to play, like, a playlist, and it's just, like, gay gym, gay boy gym. Like, or it's, like, pop girls, like, girly gym. Like, it's just...
Yeah, Queen, pop stars,
Gaga,
yeah.
Beyonce, all of that, but...
Wouldn't have it any other way, babes.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get into the meaty part of this then. Obviously, I know I've known you from a young age, but when did you first realise that you wanted to get into performing?
It wasn't too, like too many years before we met, to be fair, because I started maybe when I was, like, 11, 12... I realised I wanted to do it when I was already doing it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it's not, it wasn't like a, oh, I was a little kid, you know, 3-4 years old and I wanted to be a performer. I was just like a normal kid. And I basically just started doing after school clubs and stuff. And then I was like, oh, this is quite fun. I'm enjoying this. And then it led me to London. Then it led me to my first job. And then it led me to theatre school where I met you.
What was the first job? Was it Billy?
Yeah, my first job was Billy Elliot. So I was 12 years old when I did that. I finished it when I was around 14, and that's when I started to go to Telecomedy.
Mate, can we just address that you did Billy Elliot and Strictly Come Dancing? What the fuck?
I know. I know. People were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, I'm not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. It won't be the last, so you lot need to get over it. And I'm so glad I went on it. It was such a vibe, and it's definitely... done amazing for me. Like, I've opened 2 West End shows this year. Like, it's crazy. So I'm really happy to be,
I know.
Like,
listen, and also,
story.
Fuck them. Like, okay, I get where, like, they're saying, oh, you know, he's had dance experience, so he's going to obviously have, you know, better technique to start off with. But as a performer, you've always got something new to learn. And you even as a dancer, you definitely had a journey in there and you definitely grew. And, you know, from the beginning to the end, you can see how you evolved.
100%. And if anything, like, every week you're, like, hit with the task of these different skills and you're like, okay, I should be cute. Like, you lot are thinking I'm going to be amazing. So what the pressure is on that I actually have to try and be great. But, like, it, the tango, the pasta dope, like, these words I've never
I know.
Even
yeah.
before. Like, if I'm being truly honest, I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. I, like, you know, if you've got a friend in it or something, I'll, like, catch up on clips and stuff, but I've never been, like, a fanatic of the show. So when it actually got to it, I was like, whoa, like, there's so many different styles. I was like, oh, and Nikita, love him, but he was really pushing me to the absolute, like, you know, to be the best that I could be. And I'm glad he did, because, you know, we managed to produce some amazing routines that have, like, broken Strictly history. Bess, I need to see you on that show. You could give me a leg.
I would love to do that show. I would absolutely love it. But you know what? I think, like, it's one of them, isn't it? It's like gold dust. Everybody would love to do it. So
if it happens, it happens. But you, I mean, for the listeners, Gabby was really that girl at college. You really were. Like, you used to shut it down. She could hit a good 8 count. And I always remember you were up there with me. I'm joking.
Thanks, baby.
I'm teasing.
You know what?
You're amazing.
Thank you. Coming from you, like, literally the biggest dance name around at the moment, that is very, very nice of you. Thank you. I will take that home with me today. So let's talk. We're not talking about me, though. I want to talk about you more. What is the dream role? The dream role.
Do you know what? I've actually always wanted to create a brand new role, which, I mean, it's not brand new because it's been done in other countries, but I've actually brought a show to London literally yesterday. I opened a brand new West End show yesterday, so sorry if I'm a bit sleepy.
And what is it? Tell us.
It's called Titanic.
Yeah.
And it is one of the funniest things you hopefully will ever see. I cannot tell you the love that we got from the opening night audience yesterday. And when I looked out, it was just all the girls, all the gays. And it was just, it was from the get-go. Like, I opened the show and I was a little bit nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, like, how was this going to be received? And we just had them in the palm of our hands. And my aunties came to see, like, the dress rehearsal, and they were literally like, my belly hurts from laughing. Like, it's just so much fun. And it's basically all the songs of Celine Dion, but then mixed with, like, the story of Titanic, of the actual movie. Like, it's really silly. It's very unhinged, but it's got the most incredible cast. So, yeah, it's been amazing. But I go on to say that basically I've never been an original. Mm. I've never been the first. So yesterday was a big tick for me in my, like, milestone in my career. I've been the first to bring this show
amazing
to the West End. So I'm super proud of that. So role-wise, I just want to be, like, I want to create something that, you know, like, everybody's talking about Jamie. I did that, but I was the second person to play that. You know, were you in the same year as John
McCree? No, but I knew him, but I saw you in it.
Yeah. But John originated the part. So I would love to originate a part that no one has ever done before that goes on for history. Obviously, I have some roles that I want to play, but I never tell people, especially not on air chat, because I feel like there's already so much pressure anyway with roles that you want to do. If you go out and start telling the world, then it just makes things
100%. Messy. And you know what? I have this, like, belief also that if you want to do something, you should don't tell everybody, because as soon as you tell other people, they have opinions about what they think about that. And you know what you say, like, you manifest, or, like, you talk things into existence. So as soon as you start telling people things, they can talk about your dream. So keep your dreams to yourself. And, like, look, you've literally hit so many milestones already. You know, people aren't worried about what you're going to do next because we're focusing on what you're doing right now. Titanic. Where is it, by the way?
It's at the Criterion Theatre, literally right there in my offices of my agents at the moment. But it's smack bang. It's actually quite crazy. Like, I'm stood outside the theatre, and the two other theatres that I can see on Shaftesbury Avenue, the first two, I was like, oh, I've done that theatre. I did Thriller there. The theatre next to it, my face was literally on the building next door as Jamie. And now I'm at this theatre, which is right in Piccadilly Circus. And it's just, it's kind of bizarre to just walk out and you're in one of the busiest streets in London, in the world. And
just being faced with yourself. Everywhere I look.
Yeah, hello. But, like, no matter how many times you do it, and what, this is, like, my fifth West End show, technically, or maybe seventh, including Sadler's Wells and stuff, but it never gets old, and you always have that pinch me moment, especially when you've worked so hard as a kid to kind of get there, and you're opening another show, I'm just like, oh. So I'm feeling really, like, in my proud bag at the moment, and grateful for all of the, you know,
100%.
The people that have helped me get here.
And you've done like quite a few different things. Like, you did the MC for Cabaret, you know, you did Everybody's Talking About Jamie, you're now doing this Titanic. You're the iceberg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard who wrote it?
So it was three besties that all came together. Ty Blue is one of the creators, and his friends, they all basically came up with the concept together as friends. But Ty Blue is the director and co-creator who's been here in America. And it's been so nice that he has been here from the very beginning of the process, because usually I would just pop into a show with MC. I loved it. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go in, I'm like, what, the ninth MC now? So it's been done and you know, you get your moment. But this was like, we're learning everything from scratch. Everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
Everyone's together. Like last night, everyone had their opening night as opposed to it just being...
Yeah, you're just slotting in. Yeah.
You share the load, but yeah, so we've had the some of the team here. I've not met all the creators yet, but I'm sure they'll come down and visit. But it's just been such an honor to bring for them as well. Like these Americans, it must be like what we feel like if we were to go to America and be on Broadway, like that buzz of like, wow, you've made it all the way over across the pond in another country. Like, soon come. That's a bit of me. I want my Broadway moment.
Yeah, fair. So talking about theatre compared to Strictly, and you said that Nikita really pushed you. Does it differ in how you approach the roles that you're doing? Like, was Strictly more intense or West End? What? Compare them.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I didn't have to sing, so that's always one plus. Yeah. When I'm doing something that I don't have to sing, that takes such a weight off. So I can exhaust myself to the point where my voice is going to croak or go, and it's fine because I can just bang, bang.
Yeah.
You know, I can hit, if you can't see me right now, I'm dancing. I can hit the choreo. But when you're doing a musical, it's a whole other ball game because, like, I swear by this, Vita Coco, I drink about two of these a day. I'm drowning myself in water because I've got to, after this, go and do a note session, do some more rehearsals, be on stage, belting my tits off. And Celine Dion is not no easy thing. So that's a muscle in itself that you've got to look after. And then obviously you want to keep your mind, body, soul together. Like last week I did like five or six Barry's boot camps. Literally I was just like, I want to get my stamina on point. And if you don't know what Barry's is, listeners, it's kind of giving like, it's like a hit moment, but it's like you do a little bit of running, cardio, and then you do some weights and then you kind of jump back on and off. And
you should get on the treadmill and do and sing the songs. Maybe not at Barry's.
Well, I used to do that. If I'm in a hotel by myself, I do that.
Yeah.
If I'm like, you know, the hotel gyms are always so lonely.
Yeah, they are.
Like, no,
there's like
there.
No windows so, or like, anything.
Exactly. So I'll always put my headphones on. If nobody's there, I'm singing. But
love
Strictly,
it
was such a different experience because everything was leading up to not even a minute worth of a performance. So you're training all week for 1 minute. It's like athletes, you know, they train for one race, which can last 10 seconds. It's crazy. Mm. And that's what we were doing. And it was so heightened. It was in such a bubble. But I mean, I've come out of it and I feel like I've gained everything that I needed to.
Right.
On the other side, the work is happening. I'm filming a movie next year. It is next year. I was like, what year are we in? Oh my God. I need
filming
to
a movie. What? Yeah. Are you? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I can. So basically, it's about two ballroom dancers and they're male, and it's their journey to kind of get into Blackpool and being like competing professionally. And I am playing one of the leading roles in it. I'm like one of the lead's best friend. Rupert Everett is has been cast in it. Like, it's called The Light Fantastic. In fact, Shirley Ballas is actually going to be doing the choreography on the show, so I'm going to be working with her again, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
all these years later, like, what, 2 years later, I'm going to be back in the Blackpool ballroom with Shirley. Like, it's just fab.
That is amazing.
It's got an amazing cast. Yeah, the cast is unreal, and I just can't quite believe that, you know, we're at that point now where it's giving movies, it's giving musicals, and
100%. And then that's going to be another thing to like add to your belt. You know, you've done all that. I know you've done TV with Strictly and stuff, but like a movie is a completely different kettle of fish again. So it's another notch to your belt. You know, it's another skill that you've learned.
100%. I mean, I kind of by default I did a movie with Bad Education, and I've been very, you know, Strictly is strange because I don't really see the kind of, when I do work and it's just me being me, I don't really see it as like a big achievement. But then I'm like, of course it's a big achievement.
Mm.
Like me doing an acting role, like playing Steven on Bad Education, or, you know, doing TV work.
God, that's, I forgot about that.
To do my job.
Bad
do you
Education,
know what I mean?
Yeah. That was like, that was so
that was
good
all
as well.
Our college.
Yeah.
Literally through our colleges, I filmed that. But just recently, like 2 years ago, I took over the Jack Whitehall's part, and I basically did it for 2 years. So it's strange because I've always been on the telly, but I've never had my big like movie moment.
Yeah.
And especially musical movies, I'm like, guys, like, hello, like, why am I not in these musical movies?
Yeah.
Like, I can sing, I can dance, I can act. Like, this is where I see myself. And finally, I get this script and I read it, and I was just like, this is
perfect.
Just such a bit of me. And I'm really, it's Northern as well. Like, it's filming in Blackpool, filming in Manchester. It feels like the right one to do at that level.
Yeah.
And then hopefully just keep.
It's going to keep going like that.
Slaying. Yeah.
Would you ever, is like choreography something that you would like to do? Like, would you ever like to write your own show or anything like that?
I definitely wouldn't say no. I mean, I had an experience on Bad Education. So when we did the reboot a couple of years ago, I was in the writer's room and I got to write an episode as well. So I co-wrote an episode on each season, so two, technically. So I have actually put pen to paper now, not literally. So I consider myself, you know, it's cringe yeah. saying it, you know, when you do a new thing and you're like, well, I'm a writer now, I guess, because I've been paid for it. But I was, and I have. So I would love to do something myself and create something. It's strange that, like, I've written for TV, but I've not written, like, anything for the stage yet. So I love collaborating, so I love, like, you know, working with people and coming up with ideas. So I'm always down for that. And everybody else seems to be doing it. So I'm like, I feel like I do have a producer brain. Like, I have like a directorial brain. Like, I like to help create amazing, beautiful things. So listen, never say never.
And also, because you've had all this experience with across the board with all these different things, that you can kind of take the things that you like from each element and then do something yourself. I'm excited for that.
Exactly.
I feel like that's going to be...
Yeah.
At the moment, it seems to me as if you're so busy bouncing off the walls. You're literally surrounded. It's like a mirror in Leicester Square. So maybe not now, but like, I can definitely see you doing like your own show.
Show, for sure. I think I want to do my own show, like, literally just like a lit and live, and go through like the beginning of my career up until the end.
Yes.
And see how that feels on like a live audience. And then, you know, also my story of my childhood and stuff is so interesting of how.
Oh yeah. Remind me what happened there. Like, you started quite late dancing.
Yeah, exactly. I started late dancing. It was almost like art imitating life. Like, you know, I was very much sort of the Billy Elliot story. Then my first TV job when I was 14, it really paralleled with what was going on in my life. You know, a queer boy moving to London, trying to live amongst the beautiful people. It was just, it's just, when you look back, I'm like, oh, wow, that could be something. You just never know, do you, whether, not that I'm like, I want to write a story about myself, but they say, write what you know. So,
yeah, definitely.
You know,
when you went to, did you go to Italy Conti from a... Or did you go to Sylvia Young's first?
I went to Sylvia's first, got expelled from there. Then I went back.
Okay, so why? Why did you get expelled?
Oh, they didn't really give me an absolute reason as to, but I understood that I was just...
Too much.
Just a little bit wild. I was a bit wild, yeah. I was a bit too much, which is completely understandable. I was living a very, like, fantasy... I was living in a fantasy world. I was star of a Western show.
Yeah.
I was on set filming this, filming that. You couldn't really tell me that I wasn't that girl.
Yeah.
So I think it went to my head a little bit, but fair play, I was 14 years old. Mm. Like, it just would, wouldn't it? But I got my shit together and I ended up, you know, becoming head boy of Italy Conti
yeah.
by the end of it. So I really did turn things around, but Lord. Yeah, Sylvia's first and onto Italy Conti.
I think it was just character building, babes. You had to go through that. You know, to then be able to like share your expertise with the younger ones and be like, you might be that little girl right now being like killing it, but you know, rein it in, learn your
exactly.
place and look at you now. And
exactly.
Have Conti's ever asked you to go in?
Oh, do you know what I actually did? I've been asked to go in. They're doing a boys event soon, but I've got literally double show Saturday, double show Sunday. Mm. I've been back though. I used some of their students for my show with Nikita. I also used some of their students to dance with me at Move It, which was really cute.
That's cute.
And I'm.
I always love your Move It.
I'm an ambassador for that show.
Your Move It.
Oh, do you?
Your Move It shows. Like, when there was one that you did a couple of years ago, and I was just like, mate, wow. You're just so talented. Like, the legs on it. Unbelievable. I always send them to my mum. My mum's
still
like, wow.
Left leg.
You know, speaking about Italia Conti, though, I think, I don't know whether I've mentioned this before, but basically, on the, for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, it's a theatre school. Mm. And when you go up the stairs, there's like 8 floors and ballet was always on the top floor. That's why I never used to go, because I'd be like, I'm not fucking going all the way up there. But on the way up, they have like pictures of essentially famous people on the walls, don't they? And I remember someone sent me my photo, a headshot of me, and I made it to the fucking wall.
Did you?
So you must have like an absolute like shrine.
No, well, that was the old building at Goswell Road, and that's gone now, sadly. Yeah. But my face ended up there as well, and I was buzzing. Because that was Naomi Campbell was up there, Sharon Osbourne, like proper like, and then to know that your face is there and the students are running past you every day is hilarious. So, babes, we did it.
I know, we made it. That's it now. Life is complete. So you just briefly mentioned live audience. Obviously, I know that you do like theatre and that is live audience. But I feel like from my time back in the day, I feel like I couldn't really see it when you're on the stage because of the lights and stuff. When you're in the studio doing Strictly, is it a different experience? Or do you kind of just shut off and just give it your all?
Just shut it off. Like, as lovely as it is to have a little bit of a live audience, there's not that many there, like a couple hundred. You are very aware you are live to millions of people across the nation. So that's what's in your head, what people are thinking right then. But when I'm doing shows like last night, looking out into the audience, the Criterion, and it's quite a small theatre, so it's only like a 500-600 capacity, which makes it feel nice and cozy, like you are on the ship. You can see people can see up my knickers, and I'm not joking. I've got like sparkly pants on just to keep everything tight and right. Like it is, they're there.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that, especially for a show that we're doing now, like Titanic wants,
you can feel the energy.
Participation, it wants the energy. We're calling out to people. We want to get you involved. It's a party for certain.
Oh my God, I need to come and see it. It sounds amazing.
No. Honestly, I'll try and get you on the press this moment, because honestly, it is so much fun. I'll bring your mum down. She'll love it. If you love Titanic, if you love Celine, it's definitely the show for you this Christmas.
100%. It sounds amazing. Before I spoke to you, I'd already heard about it from somebody else. You know Niamh, my friend Niamh from Conti's?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was here and we were talking about it. Said that I had you on the show. One last thing before I let you go. I know you're a busy man, but you said that you're a head boy and, you know, you learnt your lessons and it was character building. Could you give any top tips to a younger you or a younger boy in musical theatre that just wants to have a career like you? What would you say to them?
I would say to the sooner that you can accept all your flaws and the things that maybe potentially people tease you for, them things will become your superpower. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but you might have been gone by then, but when we did our end of year show at Italia Conti, I put myself in the girls section because I was just like, I'm sick of like doing all this silly I'm so macho choreography. When I knew it in the core, I was like, I'm not that boy. Like, yes, I might play that role every now and again, but in that moment, in my finale of my graduation, I was like, I'm staying true to who I am. I was like, and this is me. And I plopped myself in the girls section, unbeknownst to anyone. And everyone was kind of gagged because it's like, what is Leighton doing there? And then I've gone on to make a career out of being unapologetically femme, unapologetically queer, unapologetically effeminate. And when I want to be and wear what I want and dance the way I want. And looking back, it's funny, isn't it? Because at college, you're kind of put in this box. It's like, oh, well, the boys do this and the girls do that. So I'm glad that we live in a world now where things are a lot more open and there's roles out there for people like me. Yeah. So I would say, you do you, boo, and you will soar.
Yeah, I think you're an amazing role model, not even just to boys either, just like to people in general. And I think people should really just take a leaf out of your book to just be who they want to be, because you are amazing. It's so inspiring to see you do what you're doing. So keep going, babes.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll run into you soon. At some point. Mwah. Good luck with it all, and have an amazing Christmas. I'm so glad we finally got you on the show.
I know, me too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Budge. Take care. See you soon. Well, what an amazing show that was, and what a year it's been. I feel like we've gone out with a bang, and I'm like, that's just left me feeling all warm and fuzzy. Like, I'm so proud of him, and yeah. But listen, guys, I hope you have the most amazing Christmas, and I hope you get everything that you want from Santa. We are going to have some best of shows. So Tuesdays at 11 a.m. if you're driving somewhere, you're going to see family or anything like that, get us on. Like, there will be some bits from What the Health show. We are still running. But in the meantime, I hope I will see you in the new year. If you need a bit of a kick of the butt, kick up the butt in the new year to get restarted, then join us once again at 11 a.m. in the new year on a Tuesday, and drop us a follow on Instagram at What The Health Show. Drop us any little messages you might want answering in the new year, and I will be here to support you. Have a great time and all the best, and I will see you in 2025. See ya.